Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A couple more political notes. Have you been polled? We are teaming up with the Huffington Post to learn more about how pollsters operate and how they reach their conclusions, conclusions that often fuel the very races they're supposed to be analyzing. So if you've ever been polled and are willing to fill out a five-minute questionnaire, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for the polling project. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Digesting Politics. From now through Super Duper Tuesday, WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I are sitting down over lunch once a week and talking about the campaign. We will be recording one at lunch today and posting it on our site this afternoon. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. Sign up for Digesting Politics, the podcast, for free at WNYC.org. Now, we all know that four of New York's five boroughs are on islands, and the city became what it is largely because of New York Harbor. But how many of us really take advantage of what that means? These days, the waterfront is changing, and the development happening today will define our relationship to the water around New York for years, decades to come. From commerce to recreation, the waterways are the focus of a new documentary called City of Water, which explores the rapidly changing New York waterfront and investigates how we can fully utilize the access to all that open space around us. We are joined now by the documentary's producer, Roland Lewis of the Metropolitan Waterfront Alliance, and Jasper Goldman, senior policy analyst at the Municipal Arts Society and the director of City of Water. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning.
And here's a little bit from the documentary that sets up the development discussion taking place right now. This is from an interview with the former deputy mayor for economic development, Dan Doktoroff.
There is very little that, in our view, is more important than reclaiming that waterfront. We have a moment in time when we think we can do that politically. We are seizing it with a fury that I think is uncharacteristic for New York development. This is a major, major effort to open the waterfront to the people of New York City.
But what does that mean, to open the waterfront to the people of New York City? And what happens to a waterfront so opened? Here's another clip. This is New York Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez with her take on the uses of the waterways.
Throughout the history of New York City, it has been a working waterfront. And there are meaningful jobs and blue-collar jobs that should and must be protected. Once you eliminate jobs that have always been there, you are in fact destroying the low-income community in that waterfront.
So, Roland, we hear those two clips, pretty contrasting clips from Congresswoman Velazquez and from former Deputy Mayor Doktoroff. Does development mean changing who has access to the waterways now?
Well, not necessarily, Brian, and I think the common denominator for those two quotes is that it's an incredibly important moment when we make these decisions. What Dan Doktoroff says, and to the credit of the Bloomberg administration and Dan Doktoroff, they've forced attention on the waterfront through rezoning and through the Olympic bid, which did not succeed, and forced a lot of folks to say, what's going to happen? Will we have only luxury development, or will we have a diverse waterfront that includes jobs, recreation? I think the bottom line is that we have to create a diverse waterfront, and we have to make those decisions now, because what we do now will make generations live with thereafter.
Jasper, you want to give me an example of a neighborhood on the water where that balance is in question? Is there something in Congresswoman Velazquez's district, for example?
Well, I think one of the examples that she was talking about was the IKEA project in Red Hook. And this is one of the unfortunate examples where we lost a graving dock that was really very valuable to the maritime industry in New York City, when we could have, if we'd been a little bit more, had a little bit more foresight, have kept the graving dock and still had an IKEA store there. So that was one example of the port functions of New York being in question. But since then, we've come a long way in recognizing as a city the importance of the working waterfront.
And one of the big themes, well, Roland, go ahead.
If I may add, the city's Department of Economic Development has recently issued a report. The folks that work for Bloomberg, and the gentleman is now the new Doktoroff, Bob Lieber, issued a report recently demonstrating the need for the graving dock and more maritime facilities. So, as Jasper just said, there has been movement within this administration in recognition of diversity and of the need for maritime use on the waterfront.
I want to throw in a programming note because we just got this. We've just gotten rights to air the two ABC News Facebook WMUR-TV Republican and Democratic debates in New Hampshire this weekend, and I want to tell you when they're going to be on, since so many of you obviously are interested in the presidential race. It's going to be at 8 o'clock Sunday night. Again, these are rebroadcasts of the ABC News Facebook WMUR-TV Republican and Democratic debates in New Hampshire. They're doing back-to-back debates on Saturday night, but if you have other things to do on Saturday night, then watch more debates. You can listen to them on Sunday night at 8 o'clock, back-to-back on AM 820. And just by way of context, ABC News is now eliminating Republican presidential candidate Duncan Hunter and Democrats Dennis Kucinich and Mike Ravel from the debates because they didn't meet certain benchmarks for support. So it'll be Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Bill Richardson still in for the Democrats, and Mike Huckabee, John McCain, Rudy Giuliani, Fred Thompson, Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul for the Republicans. Again, the debates are Saturday night, and you can hear a rebroadcast of them Sunday night at 8 on AM 820 WNYC. Now back to our guests talking about the new documentary, City of Water, about the future of New York's waterfront. We have the producer and the director of the film, and we can take your phone calls, too. Listeners, do you take advantage of New York City's waterways? Do you have access to the waterfront if you live close to the water in your neighborhood? Are there any particular waterfront development controversies that you're interested in? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Roland, one of the big themes of the documentary is getting the waterfront communities already there involved in redevelopment plans.
It's critical. Metropolitan Waterfront Alliance, where I work, is an alliance of 321 organizations, from the smallest, the Sebago Canoe Club in Jamaica Bay, to even the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And getting these folks involved in the issues that are expounding right at their doorstep is critical. It's also critical for me. I live in Flatbush, and the way my neighbors and I relate to the waterfront, we might as well live in Idaho.
Right. By New York standards, Flatbush is landlocked, and it might as well be Idaho.
Exactly. And that's ridiculous. I'm 2 or 3 miles from some of the greatest resources that are available for education, for recreation, for jobs. We have to have a greater awareness. So it comes down to transportation, access, as you said, and more enlightened land use planning.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that. The MAS has a show on right now about Jane Jacobs. And one of the things that we learned when we came to be putting on the show was that, yes, there were a lot of lessons about Jane Jacobs, about short blocks and the importance of diversity. But the really important lesson is that everybody uses the city and everybody is really qualified to use their own eyes to evaluate development that's taking place and that has taken place in the past. And with regards to the waterfront, it's really critical that the people get involved because they can be experts and really evaluate this development. If you go to New Jersey today, you'll find something which we think is quite disappointing, which is vast tracts of the waterfront has esplanades and high-rise buildings and railings to stop you actually touching or connecting with the water. And it's kind of esplanadier. It's a little bit dull. There's nothing really to do there. No one ever says, let's go spend a night out, you know, in these places. And so we're concerned that with this great opportunity that we have in the next few years to change New York City's waterfront, that we may not take full advantage of it if we see development like that.
Ellen in Manhattan has a way that she accesses the waterways of New York. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
And that way is?
I built a little portable kayak. I used to have a place out of state where I did have a lot of access to, well, I had a car and I had a regular kayak, and when I moved back to the city, I really missed it. I missed being on the water. So I'm a sculptor, and I know how to work with fiberglass and resin. So I built a kayak that I could take apart in pieces, put together in like a, you know, reasonably portable package.
And do you go out much in different waterways around New York?
A lot. I've gone.
Where's a favorite spot?
Well, I have many. I've gone up and down the Hudson. I've gone to Jamaica Bay. I've gone off the point at Coney Island. And I'm scoping out other interesting places to go. But so, if I didn't have this little portable kayak that I built myself, I'd be really in trouble. Because to have a kayak in New York, if you put it in a marina, it's very expensive.
Ellen, that's a great story. Keep on kayaking.
Brian, there are now... about 13 different boat clubs in the New York area, most of them in New York City. A great example are about four boathouses where Ellen could store her kayak, but they're running out of room. A few years ago, they were nearly empty. Now they're packed to the rafters with kayaks. We call it a blue movement. There are people that are finding, discovering, engaging in the water as never before, including Ellen.
Carl on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I'm calling from the Alice Austin House, which is a small, beautiful little place on Staten Island. We're right on the water, and we're trying to have a pier built here so that every kayaker in the city can kayak right over here and come and visit our place, and we can also have New York water taxis. And we're right across, we're very close to the Verrazano Bridge overlooking Manhattan and Brooklyn, and it would just be a perfect kind of day outing to come by boat.
Are there barriers to getting that pier built for that access?
Well, $5 million barrier, that would be one. But I think that there's a lot of support on Staten Island for it, and I think there's a monetary issue. But it's precisely the idea of accessing the city through the water,
yes.
I think is wonderful, and it's something that we want to be part of.
Thank you very much. Kelly in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Hi there. I'm originally from California and moved to the Greenpoint area where my brother actually lived and subsequently opened a restaurant. And they have been waiting for years for this redevelopment of this waterway. And I'm just so shocked to see the waste going on there. I mean, you used to be able to go down and sit along the beachfront and look over at Manhattan, and musicians would come down there and play and all sorts of people. But now they've completely closed all that down.
What a shame. Kelly, I mean, Roland, what's going to take place at that spot in Greenpoint?
Well, there's a park planned near there, and there's a rezoning for much housing. I'm not sure exactly which spot she's talking about within Greenpoint, but it's a large East River Park and Esplanade that the city is planning. And if I can add a larger point, there's an outfit called the Project for Public Spaces, and I don't mean to offend our listeners or all New Yorkers, but they rated our waterfront as the worst in the entire world. I would demand a recount, but I think they've got a point. The gentleman that called from the Alice Austin House, which I might add is part of the Metropolitan Waterfront Alliance, Dan Doctor, who proposed the Harbor District, which would connect all these wonderful cultural institutions. We can do so much if we just basically knit these things together through ferry transit. The water's already there. You know, there's tons on the water. We just have to get to it.
Let's play one more clip from your documentary, City of Water. How clean is the Hudson River? How realistic is it to use the waters around New York as a clean, safe park space? Let's listen.
The feds are mandated to maintain waterways consistent with current usage. What that means is whatever the locals are doing there, the feds have to make sure it's healthy enough for them to be doing. The best thing we could all do for the river in our backyard is jump in.
Is jump in. Is it safe to swim in the Hudson River?
At certain times, it is very safe to swim in the Hudson River. Yeah, the important thing is that after a rainfall, a lot of this sewage, unfortunately, currently goes straight into the waterways because of our combined sewage overflows. And so at those moments, it's not safe to swim in the Hudson. But at other times, it is very safe. And there are even places in the East River where you can also swim as well. But it needs to be done under sort of expert supervision.
And here's a caller on that wastewater. Zoe in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zoe.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the condition of the water, and the storm drains on every block are open, plastic bottles go into them. People who don't care can push rubbish down there. I'm not sure why they're designed that way, but does that go into the ocean?
Jasper, in many cases it does, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think we need to do far more to get our waterways cleaner, particularly by dealing with the CSO issue, by having more sustainable policies to prevent rainwater from going into the waterways. But there's a real link between being able to use our waterways for recreational purposes, like the kayaker who called in earlier, and making sure the waterfront is actually clean enough to do so.
So is this mixed use that you advocate possible? Can we walk the line between wealthy residential waterfront development and keeping New York a commercial port city and using the waterfront for public recreation as well?
Absolutely. I have to answer quite definitively there. The waterfront is firstly enormous. There's 578 miles of waterfront. So it's a very big waterfront, and we really can have a diverse harbor where we can have it all. We can have everything. We can keep our port function vibrant, but we can also have plenty of space for housing, for parkland. And I think really the important thing is for New Yorkers to get involved, to focus in on this. This is why myself and Lauren and Roland made this film, was really so that we could try and get people to focus on the waterfront. Because if we don't, we may end up with something mediocre. This is a tremendous opportunity, but we really need to take it and not let it slip by, as in places we've seen in New Jersey.
Do you agree, Roland, it can be a both-and situation, not an either-or?
Yeah, I've had since the Metropolitan Waterfront Alliance was launched the same time this film was made, for the same reason the film was made, because of the moment in time we have to create that diverse use. I've had the privilege to go to Boston and San Francisco and also Rotterdam and London. They have the same issues. We're just a generation behind them. They in Boston, they have their port. They have uses in between the port that are will not offend anybody, and then they have where the housing is and the parks are. It just takes a little planning at this point. We're behind, but we're not behind the eight ball.
Where can people see the documentary City of Water?
February 2nd, it'll be down at the South Street Seaport Museum. Go to waterfrontalliance.org. We post the showings of it. We've had about a dozen showings of it over the, and there'll be many more as we go into this winter and spring. I should also tell that waterfrontalliance.org, our website, is a one-stop shop for anything you want to know about the waterfront. If you want to get politically involved, if you want to go kayaking, if you want to know about events like City of Water showings, that's the place to go.
And just one other addendum. In April, we'll be screening on Channel 21.
All right,
Long Island.
The public TV station, Channel 21. Roland Lewis of the Metropolitan Waterfront Alliance, the producer Jasper Goldman from the Municipal Arts Society, and the director of City of Water. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
And again, a reminder that we'll have the Democratic and Republican debates this weekend at 8 o'clock, Sunday night, back-to-back on AM 820 WNYC. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer.